Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I've got the amazing singer, songwriter, and musician Lois Mahalia is here. She's got a brand new album called Chasing the Sun. Going to be talking about that album, and she's got a special guest, Steve Perry, on the album. Yeah, let's talk about it.
You know, I know a lot of Steve Perry fans. You know, if you mention Steve Perry around me, everybody goes, you know, they're like, Steve Perry, I got to know more. Okay. So, you know, of course, we're going to talk about you, but the Steve Perry thing, you know, I have a Steve Perry channel. And so how did Steve Perry get to be on your album?
Yeah.
Inquiring minds want to know.
It's a very fun
story. You just
called
him up, hey, Steve.
No, I wish. We did have a few conversations already. Very, very kind, sweet soul. Tom Flowers is a friend of his and a guy that produced his latest album, or, you know, just a few years before the, or a year before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so he was asked to do my album. And he was literally just mixing, or we were still in the beginning recording stages of a lot of the stuff. And he was in the studio just working on it. And Steve came up to visit Mele, and he heard me and he said, "Who's that singer?" And Tom told him, and then he goes, "I really like that song. Would you mind if I sang some backing parts?" And then he said, "I'm pretty sure she wouldn't mind." So literally, like, then he came to the studio to see me the next day. And he goes, "I got a little surprise for you." And when he played it, I was, yeah, very, very cool. The ideas were perfect. You know, he's just, brilliant musician and artist. So I was like, yes, you know, I couldn't have done it better.
You should have surprised him. Said, "No, I don't think so."
Exactly.
April Fools. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Seriously. Yeah. It was a really nice thing for him to do, and he's been super supportive. He's already like posted the album on his social media, and I know like people in his position, they don't have to, you know, and so it's really nice, and that feels good, you know.
Awesome, yeah. And. There's a Billboard contest running about the greatest rock singers of all time, and he's winning right now. What? So just throwing that out there to everybody.
Yay.
He's winning. And he's the
as
best.
He
but
anyway, be.
Right. But
yeah, I try singing his songs and I'm like, whoa, that's a serious range.
Did you when you were growing up, did you ever listen to Journey or anything like that? Were you a fan of Steve's?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely a fan. So like I said, from the Caribbean, and I grew up in church, so my parents didn't expose us too much to different types of music. But then when I came to America at 14, I was listening to everything. I was kind of catching up, so to speak, you know, like sometimes people would tell me the names of people and I'd be like, "Oh, who's that?" And they're like, "Where'd you come from?" Like, you know, yeah, right. Wouldn't you know? And it's not that I didn't know, not that they weren't famous in my country or something. It was just kind of sheltered a little bit, you know, in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, but then when I, of course, for me as an artist, I'm curious about all types of music, you know?
Sure.
And so once I started hearing Journey, I was like, oh my gosh, especially with the range, you know, singing in that range is, it's great. I mean, it gives me the chills just thinking about it, you know, but I enjoy it. So then I included in my gigs and, you know, people would be trying to sing along. You know what I mean?
It's the go-to karaoke.
Right.
And what
a beautiful message at the same time, you know? So, yeah.
Awesome. So, well, what is your favorite Journey song, by the way?
Oh my gosh. Oh, there's a lot of it. Oh, there's a lot of them. Don't Stop Believing is huge because that's the first thing that comes to my mind because, you know, I mean, that's kind of my whole life story, you know, I love that. So,
right.
So that would be my first choice. So anyways, I'm thinking right now and I'm going blank, but
it's all good.
I think the next one, oh, just keep going. I'm gonna think about another song.
So we'll come back to that. I'll tell you mine is Faithfully. Faithfully is my favorite Journey song.
Oh my gosh.
Because it kind of grabs you, right? It's emotional.
It's emotional. Open Arms.
Open Arms, another one.
I was blanking on the name of it, but Open Arms. Open I know Arms. Mariah Carey did another version of
that's
it.
That's right.
But yeah, that's like my favorite in that love story.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one.
I love it. No.
Wait, are you going to be singing that? So you should do that song.
I should do that.
Dedicated to Steve.
I think I'm going to be doing that for sure.
There you go.
At some point. Yeah.
There you go.
Because that speaks to me, you know?
It's really a good song. He's going to release that song with Dolly Parton later on this year. Mm. And everybody's looking forward to that. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
So you're talking about growing up in the Caribbean and South America. How did you start out? Now, I want to know this now, and I'm probably right. I've read some of your bio. I cheated a little bit, you know, so it's not like I'm shocked by anything. Unless you want to tell me some secrets, you know.
That's okay. Well,
no? Okay. I'll come back to that.
You we'll never know. They soon. Might slip out. You know what I mean? Uh-huh.
I hope so. No. Just exactly. But anyway. Your name, Lois Mahalia, that name, when you hear Mahalia, which is a beautiful name, which is, so is Lois, but you hear that name, you think of Mahalia Jackson. Yeah. Now, is there a reason that there's a tie in there? Is that coincidental that awesome ladies with an awesome voice have the same name? How coincidental is that, right?
So both my parents are musicians. Mom and dad sings. Mom, for a long time, we had a family band. My mom, well, long time, most of my life started at, like, I was on stage about 6 years old, 5, 6 years old. My dad was already performing, so he just added us as kids. And my mom for a long time played the bass in the family, and she started with the guitar. She still gigs and still sings, by the way. But the name Mahalia started because this is the story that was told to me, that my father said that he prayed for a singer, the daughter. And so he decided that he was going to give me the name Mahalia because I was going to be a singer. And here I am.
Well, prayers do come true. I'm just
saying. Yeah, yeah. Because they knew Mahalia Jackson. She came to Guyana a few times. They, you know, so.
Wow.
Here I am.
Wow. Mm-mm. Well, that's got to be an honor for you. And I'm sure you listened to her music and were inspired by her as other artists. Now, I was listening to your voice and I was thinking, I was trying to pick out who you sounded like.
Yeah.
And there's a mixture to me. And I heard some Sade in there, right? And I heard some, now check this out. Now, you don't sound just like her, but it reminded me of Anita Baker. There's some Anita Baker going on in there. And then this morning I was jamming to your new album. There's your plug. We're going to talk about that. But I heard Tina Turner in there. Mm-hmm. There's like a tinge of like a layer of Tina Turner in there. Yeah. Were you a fan of her?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Yes, for sure.
And Anita Baker?
Anita Baker, absolutely. Absolutely. I had auditioned with one of her songs. I think it's Giving You the Best That I Got. And I remember the judges were like, oh my gosh, it's so refreshing to hear something so cool and like soulful and like, you know, on lower notes, but vibey. But, you know, she's, so I definitely love her. And then Tina Turner, I mean.
Like, come on.
There are no words. And those legs, right? And I showed the legs at my show. So I'm really into that for sure. So she's just, you know, inspiring. Her story is definitely inspiring.
Well, you know, a while back talking about Steve Perry, he had mentioned he wanted to do a duets album. He mentioned Sade and that he wanted to do a duet with her one day. He said, now that's probably what kind of caught his ear when he heard you singing. He probably said,
maybe. Oh,
because you have, but you do, you have this certain, yeah. It's hard to describe, but it's kind of like what I said about, you know, Anita Baker. Her voice is kind of like, it's like an instrument. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not even like a voice. Mm-hmm. It's like a, like you're mm-hmm. playing an instrument. Mm-hmm. So I can really tell that in your voice, you've got that voice. It just sounds like an instrument playing, but you've got that. Not too many people have that.
Yay, thank I'm just, you.
Just throwing it out there. But that I promise you this, mm-hmm. you know, I don't hang out with Steve all the time or anytime, but, but I do know this about him. He knows good music when he hears it. And the thing is, he's got this ear for it, right? He's got a special ear for that. So when he heard you, he's like, oh, that's somebody I want to work with. So he yeah. knew that. So it's interesting to me that you're influenced by her and he heard you and said, yep. So that must say a lot to you, but also I'm sure people have told you that you sound like other people and they really like your vocal style.
Yes. I mean, sometimes I get like Michael Jackson, they hear a little Michael Jackson in some right. songs. And I'm happy about that because my voice, I mean, no matter what, all of us as artists, you know, people are always saying, you know, bring something original. Yeah, we are original because we are original to who we are. We can't change who we are, but we are influenced by all these artists. We're influenced by music every day, different styles of music. And yes to that, because that's what art is all about, you know. Right. And I sometimes coach singing and all the time I'm going, look, listen to the people that inspire you, you know. Get some of that, but don't try to imitate them. Just listen to them and know that there are some qualities that you will adapt to, but it will still be your voice no matter what, you know, even if somebody's exactly. hearing a little glimpse of this person or a glimpse of that. And I say, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. What a great compliment, you know, for me. Because these are people that inspire me and yeah, and I get a lot of, I got a lot of that. I get a lot of that. And the cool thing about singing original music after you've sung, you know, the cover tunes and by the way, what I love to do with cover tunes is make them my own, no matter how much they are, you know, that's why I said, when I connect to a song, I want to add it into my show. I want to add it into my life because I will make it a part of who I am. Right. And that's what we do anyways. But when I sing an original song, there are those influences that come in, but at the same time, it's so me because like sometimes right. even my accent comes out and they're like, yeah, you might want to put a TH to that the rather than a the. Let's do that one again.
Yeah, right. Hey, you know, so, can't help that.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Well, now this new album that you have, we're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Chasing the Sun, yeah. right? I know you got there's a title track with Steve on there. What was the meaning behind that? Why did you think of that song and that title for the album? What does it mean to be chasing the sun overall?
Yeah, well, there are so many meanings that can be taken from that song itself, from the words, from what you want to put it to your life, right? For me, my whole life has been pretty much chasing the sun. And in my mind, it's like trying to reach that, you know, goal, trying to reach the sun, trying to reach the, you know, the top, so to speak. But I believe that chasing the sun sort of kind of is a reminder for me that this is what I've been doing. This is what I am doing, but I actually don't need to do that. The sun is here. We feel it. We see it every day. You right. know, like the moments that we have, like treasuring that, you know, coming together, working together, which includes all the other songs that are happening in this album. So that's part of the reason why Chasing the Sun sort of was a good title and a good way to go, because it sort of pulled everything together. You know, in the one song, in the title. But for me, I just like, you know, I'll continue to have that message and that feel when I sing that song. And And it can say a lot for everybody, you know, like I always say, everyone should just take the song in and make it, you know, make it a part of your life, make it a part of what you're feeling, because they're, you know, we're human. So we're all going to be feeling something at some point, you right. know,
That's
and
right.
So, yeah. So, and she's so basically, let's just, you know, let's know that we, that let's accept our moments, let's accept what we have now, let's accept that the sun has already hit us, we're already there, it's already upon us. And in a way, when you think about it, you know, you can't ever get to the sun, by the way, and if you get there, you might not be able to last for a half a second,
right.
It's too hot, you can't grab right. it, can't hold it, right? So so there's all of that, you know, that sort of
yeah, that was going around in my mind when you were talking about that
yeah.
that very thing. The thing yeah. is, the sun is stationary.
Yeah.
We're on Earth, so we're not really traveling toward the sun. We're just existing under the sun, and we're all under the sun.
Hey, we're all under the sun,
but it's shining a light on all of us, and so everybody can see what we're doing. You know, but we're all in this together. You know, it's kind of like one big family, but that's what I took from it. But you're right, it has meanings to it. Your songs are positive, you know, and I like they're fun, and when you have a voice that goes along with it, I was thinking it's kind of like painting a picture. Now, if you painted a picture with your songs, and this that's what your songs do, you're painting a picture,
mm-hmm.
and then your vocals come along, if you're good enough, and you are, you narrate that story, that scene that you painted. So if you've got a great narrator and a painting like that, you've mm-hmm. accomplished something big. And I think that's what you did with this album, because each song is kind of like a story and you're painting a picture of it. I'm sitting there listening to it. I'm going, oh, okay. Now, are there some autobiographical songs on here, or did you just come up with these ideas? Just
I think some of them are. Like,
okay.
I mean, the main lyricist is David Petrie. And we got together and we sort of like talked about some of them. We sort of talked about, you know, my life, you know,
okay.
like different times and parts in my life. And so definitely some of them hit it, right? So there's like the Little Blue Marble is the one with I sort of go back in time with my brothers. We're all musicians, singers, you know, and my whole family. And so it sort of puts me back to like the Caribbean, a little girl, and it has that feel. The music has that feel. It has that fun vibe to it, but
right.
it also has that message, you know, sailing on a little blue marble, you know, dancing like a dream about the stuff, you know, living on a new, with just one beating heart. So we're all like one together, right? And so that's what I love about the album. So yes, I would say that some of it has some autobiographical moments.
Yeah, I was trying to say that word and I was like, I did
autobiographical. Exactly.
I'm not a smart man. Hey, Forrest was from down here, by the way.
Was he?
Forrest was, they based the movie from Greenbow, which is a cross between Greenville and Mobile. And I live right in between those. So basically, Forrest would have been my neighbor.
Oh my gosh. If he was real.
And I do
he
like a
great
box of
movie,
chocolates.
Right? You do like a box of chocolate.
Box of chocolates.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, the songs, I was kind of looking at some of these songs now. I didn't want to forget anything. I take these little notes and I'm trying to remember. I try not to go to them too much to, you know, but I just,
yeah.
But let's see, what is, oh yeah. The song Don't Leave. Now that sounds like it could have been real. So I want to get some popcorn and I want you to tell me really what happened. hey, but honestly, the way you sing though, and that's what I love about you and singers like you, like Anita Baker, but people like that, when your voice, your vocals, grab somebody, it brings them into the song. Mm. It's not just I'm listening to a song.
Mm-hmm.
Your vocals bring them into the song, puts them in the song.
Mm-hmm.
They're in there. You know, it's kind of like I don't know. It's like watching a movie. You know, you watch a movie for a long time. After a while, you kind of feel like you're in the movie. You know, your eyes kind of fade into the movie. But that song there, though, Don't Leave. But the way you sing it, it's believable. It's not like you could tell you've experienced that,
yes,
or you can relate. And when you translate that from your into your vocals,
mm-hmm.
it's not like you're just singing a song. It's like you're telling somebody your life and they're going, oh, man, is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. There was that moment where I didn't want him to go. You know what I mean? And I believe that when I anything I sing, right, and originals and cover, I have to put my life in it. I have to say, like, when I'm singing it, when you're feeling what I'm feeling, it's because I'm actually feeling that, because I'm actually thinking about that story or that time in my life or that moment. I'm actually feeling the feeling that you're hearing and feeling from me. You know, I've had people just come and start, like, they lose it. They're literally crying, right? And I'm going, and I start to cry again, because in the show, in the concert, in the song, literally I'm crying. You know, I know how to, I know how to keep singing through it. But if someone felt that, it's because I felt it. You know what I mean? And so that's what I think about. And I feel like that's the thing about acting too. It's just like, you have to actually feel it. And then people believe you because they're like, oh my gosh, she's going through that, you know?
Exactly.
And speaking of acting, so I was in this movie called Amsterdam, Margot Robbie starring, and Christian Bale and a bunch of huge names, and a really, really, this really amazing director. He just randomly chose me. I was just there as an extra. It's set in the 1930s. So if anybody goes to see it, you should go see it. You might not recognize me right away because I look like I stepped out of the 1930s, right? And he called me up and he said to me, so do you think you could learn a song in 5 minutes that you've never heard before in Portuguese? And I said, yeah. Now, I don't speak Portuguese, but the thing is that I wasn't actually supposed to sing the song. I was supposed to pretend like I'm singing the song. So I took about, because it's, again, acting, right? So I took about 5 minutes to go backstage, just listen to the intro, just kind of get a vibe of it. And I knew it wasn't going to be the whole song. It was just going to be the beginning. It was just going to be a thing, right? And they made a thing of it because it was in a theater. I had to step out on stage. I had to, like, there was lighting on me. Amazing lighting, right? Yeah. And so I step out and I'm about to sing this fado, which is a Portuguese style and song. And I open my mouth. It's playing in the theater. It's playing. It's huge. And everybody thought that I was singing, because I was putting my emotion into this song. I didn't even really know what it meant, but I could hear through the singer her, you know, feeling. I was feeling what she was delivering through the words and the way she was singing it. So I thought, well, if I did that, if I put that emotion into what I'm hearing, if I connect with what's happening, it's going to be right. I don't act. So that was
I did,
but that was my moment. And but what I'm trying to say is that's what's real, I guess, I'm guessing, about actors. When you say that you felt like you were in the movie, is that you can be, not only did they bring you into the story, you believed them about what they were saying, you believed what they were talking about, you believed, right? So like literally the actors, Christian Bale, everybody, you know, they were looking at me like, wow, like everybody stopped and think, and afterwards commenting. And I said, I actually wasn't singing, but I mean, I was singing, but it wasn't going to be in the movie. You know, it wasn't something that was, you know, I was supposed to just pretend. Wow. So,
well, you were talking about Portuguese. See, there's your Steve Perry reference, you know, because he's Portuguese and he knows Portuguese.
Yeah.
There you go. See, it's within you.
It's within me. I actually took that song and recorded it
And it's David Russell is the name of the director, David O. Russell. I actually recorded so if you look on my YouTube page, you will see a video, and I recorded that song and I learned it and I sent it to a girlfriend of mine who spoke Portuguese, who's from there. And she was like, thumbs up. And I said, wow. Okay, I'm putting it out there. And I thought it turned out really great. So if anybody wants to go and check it out, it's called Fado, and it's you'll see it. You'll see it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, maybe Steve will check it out because he knows what it's talking about.
Yeah.
He will know exactly what it's talking about.
Yeah.
The song, I was checking the song out, Lightning Bolt. That's a very positive song on the album. I was thinking, I was thinking about people's dreams and hopes. Is that what that song is about? Because I was thinking about that when I heard it. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. And the crazy thing about Lightning Bolt is very interesting because parts of it, I don't know if you hear the words like, I got to leave this road I'm traveling on, find a new band, sing a new song, right? If you're that light. And that definitely, it's about, everything is going to work out. It's going to be okay. But it was at a time where I was a little bit frustrated, with getting a band together, getting people to see what I see, feel what I feel. And but it was a great song because it was a great song to let go of that. That's what's so great about music and singing. It's like therapy, right? You can put everything into it. So that's my little secret. So it was a little bit of like, I'm gonna do this on my own, but I'm gonna make it.
Oh, got it. Well, see, it's funny that you mentioned that. See, I'm catching all these hints in your song. Yeah. See, I must know you more than you realize.
Because I was going to
ask you about that. Because one of my questions on here was, are the songs therapy for you when you're writing and listening to music? Does that help you deal with life? I mean, it has to, right? Is that your escape from some things? And of course, you're encouraging yourself. I mean, you're sitting there going, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do this. So not you're just not encouraging somebody down the road. You're encouraging you.
Yes.
Right?
yes, exactly.
And that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And yes, my songs definitely, I use it to speak to myself. I use it to definitely tell people what I have. How do you say when you sort of like a light bulb goes on inside, what you've discovered, what the epiphany that's gone on inside of you about love, about life, about everything. And so I use music for that, but definitely I say therapy. I could be like down, sad, also not feeling well. And it's not highly recommended to sing when you're not feeling well, but even so, migraines. Sometimes I suffer from migraines, and there've been moments where I had to, the show must go on, right? To do it. And I get up there and I start singing, and literally it's gone. It's gone in that moment. It's gone in that time because I'm not, I've let go. Sometimes when you're really sick, and those are the best shows. And I'll tell you why, because a lot of times you don't know how much sometimes our self gets in the way, if for lack of a better word, am I doing this right? Am I, are they liking it, or, and things like that. And mind you, I get past that super quickly during my music, because I get up on stage and I'm going, look, I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to have a great time. I'm here to share something that I feel is very special to me. And it's okay if it's not right for you. That is actually okay. But what's right for me right now is that I need to do this. So that's the therapeutic side of it, because then I leave the stage feeling fulfilled, feeling, I put gas back into my system, sure. I'm fueled again for life. I'm fueled again for being able to take on disappointments that come here and there, and
Well, I first heard you sing it. Well, you had the single, the Gravity and Love single with Steve, and I was like, whoa. So is that was just a single, right? So how did you decide I want to do this whole album, and why did it happen at this particular time? Why did you wait so long?
So the album was already brewing, you know. So when we released Gravity and Love, it was just sort of like testing the waters, so to speak. And I was still sort of nervous, you know, the music industry, they're saying that you have to do things a certain way, and you know, you should have a publicist, and you should, you know, and everything, all those things include money, right? And as an artist, you're working, you're doing your thing, and I also do session work, and I also do other things. So my brain is like, I'm going crazy, right? I'm thinking, how am I gonna do this and push this album the best I can? And I'm super over the moon grateful for the producers, like David Petrie is the executive producer, also a songwriter, but came to me and was like, here, Lois, I'm gonna help you to this point, I'm going to help you here, you know. And I'm like, yes, you know. But then there's still, it's still a lot to get it out there. And then it's still a lot to decide on when to do it, how to do it, where to do it, you know. Then there's COVID.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, and then there's people looking at you when you say, oh, yeah, here's a CD that I made a while back, you know, and they're like, CD? What's a CD? Where do I put it? You know, and I'm like, right. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do?
Don't tell them where they can put it. No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
You can cram it. That's where, no, I'm kidding. If they haven't heard of you, they know. Hey, but that's interesting though, because I mean, I don't want to guess your age because I might, you know, say the wrong thing. But I know you grew up with all the different varieties of, you know, cassette tapes and stuff like that. And the CDs come along.
Yeah.
And then now there's, you download music, but I always said that I like to have something like I can hold on to. Don't you
Me
think
too.
That?
Me like too. You can
hold on to a CD.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, you know, believe it or not, I know for the trained, for people that don't have a trained ear, they probably don't notice it. And there's a lot of people that don't listen in that way, but the CD quality is a lot better than the MP3s. You know, there's a lot of things that I could hear the difference. I could feel the difference. And for me, I love just listening to an album from top to bottom. I've already heard my album at least 3 times, 4 times over since I released it, and more than that. I can't even, like, now at this point, I can't count it, right? But I love doing that. You know, anybody gives me an album, I'm going to listen to the whole thing all the way through, you know?
Right.
And nowadays, people are going, oh, maybe 5 minutes, not maybe 5 minutes of the album, maybe 30 seconds of the song, and you're just going, but why?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't get that.
No, and it's an art in it of itself. Just listening to the whole thing, you can understand the artist, you can understand what they, you know, what they want to say, and then later on you could just go and pick out your favorites, of course, and you can, you know, get to know those better. But it's always nice to have that initial feel, and then actually having something the artist can sign, you know, like, right. I mean, I was on tour. Was on tour with Joe Walsh since 2012. Right. And you'd think I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm good. I already have his music online, and I do have his music online. But when he released his first CD his first album in 20 years, when we started touring in 2012, and we had that CD signing moment, I was like, I'm getting my CD.
Yeah.
And I did. And I got my signed copy, and it's sitting there, you know? And so even though I knew all the songs on there and I knew everything about it, there's still something, now it's special, you know, beyond special. So.
Well, I was going to bring that up. You perform with Joe Walsh, Kenny Loggins. Hey, there's another tie-in to Steve.
Yeah.
A song called Don't Fight It with Kenny Loggins and Steve Perry back in the day. See, you got all these Steve Perry connections. It was just meant to be that he heard you. But how fun was that, though, Joe Walsh? and Kenny Loggins, some of the people you grow up listening to, you're like, and they're probably thinking the same thing. I get to play with Lois Mahalia.
Oh my God. I'm going to be honest with you. When I got the call for Joe Walsh, I actually did not know his songs. Well, I knew, you know, like everybody knows, like, you know, from the Eagles, right? So Life in the Fast Lane and, like, you know, but it didn't him, you know, like Barnstorm and all those really amazing music. And I got the phone call. And so, of course, I started researching and I went down there and auditioned for him. And he's like literally just sitting on the couch with his guitar and I'm singing, right? And I'm like, I hope he's liking this. Well, then when I got the call to be on tour, I figured he liked it, you know. But it was the best experience and still hoping to have more of it. The best experience because I learned so much. Legend, right? Legend. I learned so much from being on tour with him. I learned a lot about not just music, but how much we need each other. You know, I mean, he's like a super rock star and he treated us like we were rock stars. You know what I mean? We were all staying with him in the same hotel. We were, you know, we were treated like family when we got on stage. And it makes a huge difference. You know, I tell anybody who plays or sings with me, I say with me on stage is like, you know, I need you as much as you need me. I need you the same. She's the star. She's the only one, you know, no, I want you. I want you to know that comes true. That comes through everything, anything, you know. You're going to sit next to me at the dinner table. You know, you can call me anytime. Here's my number, you know, that kind of thing. And Joe was that guy. So I could literally call him my friend, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah. And so the experience was wonderful because of that. And everyone around him that surrounded him, everyone that worked for him, they were kind. They were, you know, and you just knew that it was part, you know, it showed who he was. You see what I'm saying? It's like,
right,
sure that people were working for you that had that same quality about life and humans and all of us together.
That's so awesome.
Yay. That's grateful. Awesome. Super grateful. Wow. And Kenny has been a long friend, and also really great working with him. He's coming up at the Bowl here, Santa Barbara Bowl, pretty soon. Cool. Yeah, he's been an awesome friend, inspiring. He's a crazy, crazy talented singer. And I remember doing like duets with him and I was like lost in his mouth because I'm like, what are you doing there to hit that note?
you're taking notes and trying
I'm
to sing.
I'm taking notes, you know.
Very good.
So when we get in the studio, we do that, you know. He had a lot of great things to say about me and my and recognize my talent, which I really appreciate. So
there you go. I mean, when you look at artists like that and they recognize you, like you said, as talented, they know their stuff. They're not gonna just throw some line at you.
No,
it's gonna make you feel pretty doggone good.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're talking about, you know, we're talking about music and guitars and things like that. Now you play ukulele, right?
Yes, ukulele. I play the guitar a little bit. I don't say that I'm a guitar player or anything like that. I can play some chords. I've got rhythm. I love playing the drums too, by the way. That's like I love that. The drums is super fun. I even got, like, by the way, I got Joe let me sit on the drum set after a sound check in the theater and hit the crap out of those drums, and it was the best feeling in the world.
So cool. Wow.
But I took up the ukulele specifically because when we went on tour, when we started going on tour, I thought, I want to take something with me that is smaller, that I could just travel with very easily. And then I want to write songs and maybe just, you know, just sing and have fun. And so me and the girls, when I took the ukulele on tour, me and the girls started doing these, we called it the dresser room series. And I have a few videos up, and people were just loving it. We even got Joe to sit in with us at one point on one of our songs. And we would just like, literally, I would be in my hotel room and we'd pick a song, like a cover tune that somebody knew. And I would do like a little arrangement of it, make a little recording, send it to the girls. Then we get to the dressing room after we were ready to go on stage, and we had like a makeup artist or somebody just video us, and we would just do it, right? Harmonize. And so the ukulele ending came in handy for that reason. The baritone ukulele, which is, so I played the tenor and the baritone is actually the last, four strings of the guitar. So it's the exact tuning. So I'm able to play, you know, some chords that are exactly the guitar form, sure. You know? So sometimes I can confuse myself though a little bit, you know, and
I probably would. I'm trying to remember. I play guitar and I'm trying to remember, have I played a ukulele? It would throw me off because I'd be like trying to play guitar. It would mess me up or something.
Because the C position on the ukulele is the G position on the baritone ukulele. So if you think you're playing a C chord when you do that on the baritone, you're actually playing a G chord. So you have to be careful.
That would throw me off. It's like I was trying to play a 5-string bass one time. It kept throwing me off because the extra string. And I was like,
you're like, what?
It don't take much to throw me off. I'm just saying. But your album is, you know, you got Steve promoting you online. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure people, it's taken off. I know a bunch of fans, new fans. So that's what's cool about somebody like Steve or Joe or anybody. They're like, I need to check this lady out. And then they do. And it's pretty doggone good. So I know that helps you out a lot, though, with the new fan base. Have you noticed that your fan base is growing because of that?
They're growing. It's growing. I'm loving it. I'm really grateful. Super. I mean, it's the same when I was with Joe, the same thing. You know, I still, like, I have a huge fan in Australia. And he's ready to do like a radio interview with me on the new album. And he's just been like, it was the sweetest thing. Like, you know, when I didn't have an album out, he just kind of did a radio interview on the phone. And he found all the different music that I had out. I had some gospel music. I had some this, some of that. And he would just like incorporate it into the interview. And we just talked a little bit about my story. And so yes. Thank you. I'm grateful.
Well, what's an artist though you haven't worked with that you'd like to work with, or what would be your dream person to show up and perform with?
Oh my goodness, that's a great question. Well, I am crazy about duets. By the way, I love duets. I love singing backup. I love harmonies. That is something that is just, that's an art in it of itself, literally. Not kidding.
I love harmony.
And blending and voices coming together. So duets, hands down. Steve Perry is on my list, by the way, and I'm going to say that out loud. I'm hoping to do one with Steve Perry. I'm hoping to do one with Joe, with Kenny. Bono from U2. I would love to do a duet with him. Andrea Bocelli.
Ooh.
I would love to do a duet with him. So I have a huge list. So it's really hard to say specifically. Females, I love duets with females. I don't see that enough. There needs to be more, you know, because not only are we like supporting each other and loving on each other, but the blend, you know, of our voices together would be so beautiful. I've always wanted to do something with Whitney. I grew up listening to her, and I love she's huge also right now. Alicia Keys, I love her. I love her vibe. I love her, you know, her understanding about soul and life and love. Like I listened to her meditation with the Chopra meditation with her when she did that together. Just super, super inspiring. So, and she has a gorgeous voice. Let's just not
That helps
from that, but you know, so her soul, and so I would love to do that. Yeah, the list goes on.
Well, I'm sure people say the same thing about you, but when you have that overall, you know, personality, and it shows in your music, you know, and it shows in the way you sing, it draws people in, you know, and that not too many people can do that, you know, it, you know, when you draw people in and they just have this certain feeling when they listen to your music, you know. I guess that's the whole purpose. I mean, you do music for your own, you know, hobby, so to speak, but you're trying to reach people. I guess the ultimate goal is, like you said, when a song touches somebody out there and they relate to what you've gone through, it just completes the mission under the sun, right? That you were talking about, right?
There you go. You nailed it.
Well, I won't keep you. You know, because I could talk all night. I mean, if you got 5 hours, talk about food or something. But hey, can you give a shout out to the Steve Perry Legacy page on Facebook, because they are a huge supporter of Steve and you.
Yes, Steve Perry Legacy page, right?
Yes, on Facebook.
On Facebook, and I think I've tried to join. I've just not figured out how to do it yet.
And you can also join the Steve Perry official Facebook page. That's the moderator of that page, believe it or not.
Are you? Yay! Yeah.
Look at me. Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Yay! So now I can get in really easily. Like, I have to see if there's something I'm doing wrong. But yes, I would love to join. And then I'm going to like post about it and tag you guys.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. These, and I've watched a lot of these people, though, like I said, because of Steve, and they went and listened to your music, and like I said, I've read all their comments about it, and they're excited about it, you know. And but I think that good music, though, these days is really, you know, I don't know. To me, it's hard to find. I don't know. It's just, there's just special. I don't know. Some people have it. Some people touch you. And some people don't, but that the music that I like is you've kind of got that thing, like the Steve Perry type thing, like especially on his latest album, the Traces album. The songs were kind of like you said, you listen to the whole album and they just kind of draw you in. It's an album that you want to listen to again and again. And I know that you've got people out there that's really going to start noticing that this lady is awesome. But the new album just released, right?
Chasing the Sun. Chasing the Sun. You know, real musicians. That's the thing that's lacking on a lot of music. You know, I mean, there are a lot of great, great artists and great ideas and great, you know, pieces of work. But you can tell when you hear the drummer hitting that snare, and you can feel it all, you know. So,
well, you got some cool musicians on this album. I was looking. That's another thing about looking at album.
Yeah, you
can see who it is. Who's some of the musicians you have working on there?
So Steve Ferroni from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Yeah,
my faves.
So cool. And I actually did a concert in L.A. And that's how I met him on the tour, because with Joe Walsh and Tom Petty, we had tour together before he passed, actually, right before he passed. Had no idea that he was so sick. I met him and everything. Super, super kind person. And so then I did a concert in L.A. with his band. So with Steve Ferroni, you know, everybody in the band from the Heartbreakers. And then Tom, the producer of this album, says, "Oh, I know Steve Ferroni. I think we should get him on the album." And I was like, "Heck yeah!" And so he sent a message to Steve. I didn't hear anything back. I sent a message to Steve, and he was like, "Yes, I'm playing on your album."
If I sent a message to Steve, he would delete it. No, I'm just saying. But that's really cool, though, because those musicians, like I said, Tom Petty, oh man, so sad that he left us, but I still can't get over that fact. But all these musicians playing on your album, like you said, it's real musicians, And you can read about it on these linear notes. You can read who wrote songs. You can read who played the drums. You can tell your kind of story. You want to think so-and-so. You can't really do that in the air on a, you know, through the internet. So that's what I'm saying. It's almost like it brings you closer to the artist when you can read about everything about them, you know. But
I agree.
But I thank you for talking to me today. And I'm going to put this everywhere.
Thank you.
And there's going to be a lot of happy people. There's a lot of going to be some shocked people, because I didn't realize, because I think you texted me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, awesome. You know, and I was like, let's do this, because normally I know in advance, but hey, I'll take it.
Cool. Yeah. Some surprise. I thought we were just going to have a conversation about doing this. So I'm glad.
It's cool. I mean, I like it. I really, this is one of my favorites of all time, honestly.
Sometimes it's better not planned.
No, it's really like that's when I do a podcast, it's kind of like, I like to do that. It's kind of like we're having coffee or something. We're just sitting around. It's not like it's serious and you've got to be so strict. It's like, it's relaxing, you know. I didn't ask you about any dirt. I mean, if you, before you leave, if you want to, you know, any secrets. Hey, what's one big secret though that people don't know about you that you are willing to tell that they don't really know about you?
So if I told a secret, it wouldn't be a secret anymore, right? Well,
how about a fact that they didn't know about you?
A fact is kind of nice. I mean, a fact is kind of nice. Let me see. What can I say that people don't know about me? Maybe they might think they know this by now, but I mean, I love like romantic movies. Sometimes super cheesy romantic movies, you know,
like
even though I know that life and relationships are not that.
Come on. They're out there somewhere.
It's a part of that. A part of that. And so maybe that's what I enjoy about it, because I could put it in different compartments, you know, in my mind and in my reality of what life really is. But it's a part of that. And so I enjoy going there. You know, I enjoy going to that, you know, they're in Paris and I just love stuff like that. So I can't get enough of it. So that's kind of like my downtime too, just to watch something super romantic.
Well, see, here, that's my secret. Don't tell nobody.
Okay.
You know, but I like The Notebook, the movie, The Notebook. I love that
movie. I cry.
Don't tell nobody, because it might ruin my cool image.
I can imagine. Well, I do.
I'm that sappy guy, and the Hallmark Christmas movies. Don't tell nobody that either.
I'm that girl.
I like those. Don't tell nobody.
Girl. Good.
I'm that one guy.
The one guy. That's the one guy. That likes it. So I'll remember that.
Well, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, what, before you go, what about some shows? You got some shows lined up, or what?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it, because it's one of those times where it's like that was the first show, and you know, organizing a band that's a working band that is not only your band, it's a little difficult, but we're working on it. I'm trying to get into the Hotel Cafe in LA, so I'm trying to go more south and then also north, like San Francisco. And so I'm talking about theater there in Berkeley, UC Berkeley. And so that's all in the works right now. And by the way, I do a lot of the things on my own, though I have friends and family and that are willing to help as much as they can. But you know, as an artist in these days, it's nice that we don't get taken advantage by a record label, or we don't get a lot of those stories. But you know, the record label, the managers, the agents, mostly the agents, they took a lot of the work off the artist, you know, and now we're sort of doing it all, right? We're doing social media, we're doing everything. And so so things kind of come up as a little slower than it normally would. But on my website, always visit my website, losmahelia.com. Social media, I'll be posting. And so hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have another show coming up. Bands in Town is a nice place to go also.
to not only check out bands that are happening, but what's going on, live music.
Awesome. And you need to come to Alabama or near Florida. I need to Florida. Come to Alabama.
Yes.
Come to Pensacola. I live up the road from Pensacola, Florida. But I'd be looking forward to that. And who knows, maybe Steve himself will show up on stage and help you. Can
you
we
never know?
Can we get that, people? Can we get that,
yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Can we get that, please?
I will send him a text right after this. Gary asked if he could be. Yeah.
Tell him Gary Stuckey.
Gary Stuckey.
That guy that talks about him all the time.
Oh, but, that's great.
But but I thank you for your time. I'm telling you, people are going to absolutely love this interview. They love you and your music, I promise you. And you're going to hear some good things very soon.
Thank you, Gary.
I know
you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
And I'll be here if you ever need me. I'm just saying. But
I will. All right. I'll call.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. See you soon. Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. And always remember to keep the music real.